Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the power of prayer, but before I get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to share and study your word together. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you place within each and every one of us who believe and make your Son, Jesus Christ, our Master, God. Father, I thank you for you and all that you accomplished for our physical wholeness with the beatings of your Son at Calvary, God. Father, I thank you for you paying for all of our sin with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary as well. I thank you for this evening being a great moment for people to understand that they can boldly access your throne and ask for whatever it is they need with expectation that you are faithful to provide according to your word. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Now we're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. And it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. Like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out.
Nobody out.
Don't hang up your phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. Three days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this, that, and that gives me another problem. The next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're discussing the power of prayer, and we're discussing this because prayer is one of the tools that we use in our everyday walk with God, our relationship with God. It is really at the center of all that we do because communication with God is one of the things that was lost when Adam sinned and lost his Holy Spirit and was dead. He was just body and soul man, just like any animal running around. And the spirit was gone because he had sinned. And God said, the day that you disobey me, you shall surely die. And that loss of the ability to go directly to God and communicate with the Heavenly Father, now the Heavenly Father communicate with him, was lost. And God had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to be able to restore the presence of His Holy Spirit within each and every one of us who accept His Son Jesus Christ as our Master. We have that Holy Spirit that Adam lost within us that allows us to once again go boldly before the throne of God and communicate at will, at any time we want. We can go to our Heavenly Father and express our need, express our thankfulness, express our concern for others, express our joy and thankfulness for all that He has done and all that He is doing and all that He's going to do. And when we get a hold of prayer and its role in our life, and we allow prayer to be an intentional aspect of all that we do throughout the day, we're going to see things clear. We're going to understand how to interact with the Holy Spirit and God in our life in the everyday practical aspects of the things that we have to do. We know that the Word of God tells us that we are to pray at all times. We know that we're to pray with our understanding. We know that we're to pray in tongues. We know that we're to pray for others as we intercede for them. We know that we're to go boldly before the throne of God with grateful language, worshipful language, reverently, and make our petitions known to Him, and then thank Him for what He's already promised to provide in His Word. See, when we pray to God and we understand the Word of God because we've studied it, we meditate upon it, and when we pray the promises in the Word, it is simply us coming in agreement with God's will for our life, because we know that God's Word is contained. God's Word contains His will. God's Word is His will. And when we know what the promises of God are, then we can speak those promises to God and stand on those promises and claim those promises and move forward boldly, understanding that that is God's desire for us to prosper and be in health. It is God's desire for us to be more than conquerors. It is God's desire for us to reject all doubt, worry, and fear and unbelief in our life. And when we come into agreement with God and His Word, then things start to open up for us. I want to start tonight in a passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, which is really going to bless you. I know it blesses me. It says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." And what is important about this particular verse is God is saying, you know, I know the past, the present, and the future. I am the only one who knows all things. That's what makes God God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's present everywhere. He's the only one with knowledge of the future, total knowledge. And what it says here, it says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear." And God knows what you need. So when you are praying to God, you are simply not agreeing with God, and you're letting Him know that you know what to do. Because God gives us many promises in His Word, but He will say very clearly, very plainly, if you do this, I'll do this. And if you do this, I'll do this. And so when we come before the throne of God and we delight in His Word, we meditate upon His Word, then God says He will give us the desires of our heart, meaning what we need to desire, we will desire, and it will be in agreement with God's will for our life, and when we speak it forth, it will come into manifestation, it will come to fruition, and we have to understand that God is saying He'll hear you before you finish speaking, while you're speaking, while you're praying, and see, that's where we have to get more confident. We have to raise our expectation level from God. And I think that really only comes from developing an intimate relationship with God. And the only way to really do that is to study God's word and to pray and to fast and fellowship with like-minded believers regularly. Because what happens is when you hear the testimonies of others, when you begin testifying to others, when you read what God has done and is doing and is going to do in his word, you can understand the voice of God. You can understand the will of God. You can understand the purposes of God. So that when you hear something that is not in agreement with God and his word, you can reject it in the name of Jesus Christ quickly, because God is very specific. He does not tell you to do something that he has not clearly delineated in his word as specific instructions for you to obey. And so when we study God's word, we have to look at specifically who God is speaking to. I want to look at this particular verse here in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." See, our expectation level when we come before the throne of God in prayer boldly has to be that God is going to show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And see, I think this is one of those aspects. This is one of the reasons why people do not get prayers answered, is in order to come before the throne of God, it requires you to first humble yourself and acknowledge that you don't know everything. And you have to understand that the source of all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding is at the throne of God. And so when there is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that you need, then you can go. It said, God says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." Not "I might answer thee," not "maybe you will hear from me." He says, "I will answer you if you call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And so the way that we approach the throne of God has to be the way that we would approach a loving father's side. And when we approach the side of our loving father and we ask him to show us things that we don't yet understand, he promises here that he will show us great and mighty things. And so the way that we approach prayer, if we understand that God desires for us to call upon him, and the reason we call upon him isn't because we need stuff. We call upon God because we know he is a gracious heavenly father who loves us, and love is expressed in communication. So what happened as a result of Adam sinning was that communication that Adam had with God, with his heavenly father, was cut off. He was dead spiritually. And you see how man struggled and struggled and struggled to connect with God throughout the Old Testament, and how only through prophets and those who were anointed for specific purposes, they had the Holy Spirit upon them to be kings, to be prophets, to act in various capacities throughout the Old Testament. That was a temporary situation. Whereas when the Holy Spirit is within you and I, it is a permanent situation. It is seed life. We are sons and daughters of God. We are children of the Most High. And the reason why we are children and not merely servants is because God's seed of the Holy Spirit is within us. And we must understand who we are in order to walk into the fullness of our relationship with our Holy Father. So we can begin to expect him to answer us and show us great and mighty things. And the way that we approach him will be as an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere-present Heavenly Father that is an unlimited source and resource, and who loves us and who spared nothing in order to provide all that we need. So I want to look at this next passage of scripture, which is only going to reaffirm what I said earlier. In Psalm 37, verse 4, what it says is, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And what this means is God is going to give you what to desire, because when you delight in his word, you'll understand how God does things, why God does things. You'll understand that all born-again believers like you and I are ministers of reconciliation, and our job is to reconcile the world back to God, which basically means to go out into the world and bring those lost souls that God has called before the foundation of the world that were enemies of God, just like we were before we were called, and draw them into the body of Christ. And in order to do this, it takes humility and the ability to delight in God's word to such an extent that we mine his word for promises, just like we were looking for gold or silver or diamonds or something else that we deem valuable. When you deem something valuable and you understand its worth, there is no length that you won't go to in order to yield the benefits of accessing those riches and treasures. And that is how it is with God's word. The treasures and riches in God's word are real. And when we delight in the word and we delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And we have to expect that. We have to know that in order for us to do what God wants us to do, we have to delight in his word. We have to delight in the Lord. We have to get excited about the things that God has done, the things that God is doing, and the things that God is about to do, because they're huge and they include us. See, God needs you. God needs me. And that's something I don't believe we hear enough today that is absolutely true. God can't do this without you, because everything God said he was going to do has to come to fruition. So when God magnified his word above his name, basically he said, "I can't lie." And when God said he called you and I before the foundations of the world to be his child, then and that nothing can separate us from him. When God said that, that was a promise from God. That can't be undone just because somebody thinks it can. That's the word of God. And then when you delight in the word of God, you can stand on the word of God. You don't have to be spiritually insecure, wondering whether or not if the wind blows, you might be a child of God today and maybe not tomorrow. That's not how it works. Just like you cannot change who your earthly parents are, their DNA is in you. That's who you are, whether you like it or not. When God called you before the foundations of the world to be his child, That's going to happen. The work that God starts in you is going to be completed by him. And even the desire to come to God comes from God. So when you desire to draw near to God, understand that's not something you came up with. You figured out a solution to all your problems. God drew you to him. And you simply acknowledged the work that God was already doing in your life. That's what makes it grace. understanding it's not something that you did. It's something that God gave you the desire to do. Now, it says when we delight in the Lord and we see how grand his design is, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Look at what it says in Psalm 91:15. It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And this is God speaking, right? And so when we call upon God, God will answer us. God will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. See, God will restore us the same way he restored Job. And we understand the afflictions that Job went through. Job was one of the rich, he was the richest man in the world at the time. And he was tested. And he passed the test. And after he passed the test, he lost everything he had during the test. But after he passed the test, God doubled everything that he had before the test and fully restored him and allowed him to live for an additional 120 years. See, God does not half do things. He says here that when we call upon him, he will answer. He will be with us in trouble, so we never have to worry about being alone. He will deliver us, so we never have to worry about being in despair. And he will honor us. He will restore us. Look at what it says here in Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. See, we have to understand that this issue of calling upon God is essential. And when you pray, that's what you're doing. You're calling upon God. When you're acknowledging his presence, you understand God hears you when you speak. And you understand that God wants to speak with you. Can you imagine what kind of relationship you would have with the dearest people in your life if you never communicated with them? That'd be very difficult. To have a relationship with your mother, your father, or your brother, or your sister, or your son, or your daughter, or your husband or wife, if you never spoke to them, right? God is our Heavenly Father is asking us to call upon him so that he can show us all that he's talking about. He says he is nigh, he's near all of those who call upon him. God is near all of us who pray. And when we call upon him in truth, it says he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. So when we fear God, when we acknowledge who God is, and we reverently go before the throne of God with worshipful language, and we make our petitions for ourselves and others known to God, with thanksgiving, we thank him for what he has promised to provide already in his word, that God promises he will answer our prayer. He will hear our cry and he will save us. And prayer is what it means to call out to God. I want to look at another scripture here in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, which is also going to bless you. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And see, what you need to know and understand is the Holy Spirit within you makes you the righteousness of God in the earth. And so the Holy Spirit within you is doing a complete and perfect work, which is making you the righteousness of God. And God says he's far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And you are the righteous because the Holy Spirit within you makes you righteous. The blood of Christ that covered all of your sin and covers all your sin makes you righteous. And to know that we're near God because we call upon him God is far from the wicked, but he hears our prayers. And see, you know, there are times when things get so hard for people in the world that even those who disdain God, even those who hate God, there's a time where they call out to God, and God does not hear them. And that's unfortunate, and that is sad, but what it says here is the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So if you are saved, God hears your prayer. And we have to understand that God called his children before the foundations of the world. So if God has given you the desire to draw near to him, that comes from God. And you need to ask God what's next. You need to ask God what to do next so that you can be a child of God. I would direct you to read Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, read Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, and read Romans 10, verses 8 to 13. And God is going to bless you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to restore you, and he's going to give you a path to be in relationship with him. I want to go just a little further so that we can say, what is God saying to us about prayer in the New Testament especially? So I want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And one of the things I want to point out about this is that it is great to have corporate prayer. It is great to pray in church together. And yet, in your private prayer life, which is daily, which is ongoing, which is continual, God desires that intimate communication between just you and him, and in a place where no one else is, where no one sees you, no one hears you, it's just you and God. And this verse says, you, child of God, when you pray, enter into your closet, enter into a place where no one else is. And that closet might be your room, your office, your bedroom, an attic space, a basement. It may be your car for some people. It says, enter into thy closet, that intimate place, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. So it's God is telling you to pray to him secretly, privately, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. God is saying, when we have intimate time with him alone, then that is going to be manifested in the world as he rewards us openly. And he's going to reward us with mental, physical, spiritual, financial, and emotional wholeness. God is going to reward us openly when we develop our relationship with him, our intimate, personal prayer life with God. And when we're praying in secret to God and we let him know how much we love him, we thank him for all he's done, we thank him for all he's going to do, we intercede for those that we are concerned about, our loved ones, our friends, our family, we pray for our enemies. When God sees that level of obedience and acknowledgement of his presence everywhere, God says, I'm going to reward you openly because you took the time to come to me. Now, for those of us who have children, think about the relationships we have with the kids who come to us and seek us out to speak with us versus the kids who are good to do their own thing and and rarely communicate, rarely reach out, right? They don't owe you anything, but it's to their benefit if they come to you and seek that intimate time, seek that counsel, seek that communication from your mother, from your father, right? When we go to God like that, He loves it. And that is a secret to your success and your peace in life. And so when we read in the New Testament about how we're to approach the throne of God, you know, see, one of the things to acknowledge is that it's a privilege to be able to do that. Because in the Old Testament, only one person could go before the mercy seat of God. That was the high priest of the children of Israel, and he could only do it once a year to have the sins, to ask for the sins of the children of Israel to be forgiven. And now, each and every one of us can go boldly before the throne of God whenever we want, and we act like that's nothing. Not all of us, but in general, the way that people approach prayer is so artificial, is so mechanical, is so religious, that when we get to the point where God says, hey, I'm trying to develop a relationship with you, you know, when you talk to people about building their small business and their ideas and stuff like that, there used to be a time when you could develop a relationship with a banker, and you could go to a bank and get to know the banker, and they would get to know you, and over the years, you would establish rapport, and you could do business and get bank loans and other types of financial services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, nowadays, it's not quite like that, because they move bankers around like they just move them around from branch to branch to branch. And it's very difficult to develop a relationship with a good banker, because a good banker is often moved to improve other struggling banks with a similar organization. And so, you know, what I'm saying that for, though, is to point out that how relationships are developed is by regular, consistent communication. And if we go that far to develop relationships in business, why wouldn't we go so far as to speak with our Heavenly Father daily, often, in many different ways? And look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. See, those are all absolutes. You're not guessing, you're not gambling, you're not rolling dice. This isn't the lottery. God is telling you that if you actively communicate and engage, it shall be given you. When you ask, that's what prayer is, right? Making your petitions known to God. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. So everyone who asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I want to look at another passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 to 20. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. This is Jesus Christ speaking. For where two or three are gathered there in my name together, there I am in the midst of them. So Jesus Christ is telling us another key to prayer. And this is where the corporate prayer becomes relevant. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus is in the midst. And he says, if two of us agree on earth concerning anything that we should ask corporately in corporate prayer, it shall be done of them, of his Father done for them by his Father, God Almighty, which is in heaven. And see, that's why we have to understand this is another reality. This is showing you that prayer in private, as we spoke of in Matthew chapter 6, where we pray secretly and God rewards us openly. That's one type of prayer that God wants us to be engaged in. The other type of prayer God wants us to be engaged in is corporate prayer, where two or three of us who are children of God, we touch and agree on what we ask God for together, and Christ is in our midst when we do this. It says, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And so when we need prayer for physical healing and we go to the elders and they lay hands on us, that is one of the times where this happens. And we have to get to the point where we don't trivialize prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is real. But when we make it something less than what it actually is, it is a privilege to come before the throne of God, to be able to come before the throne of God at will, either individually or collectively, and receive answers. And look at what it says about this even further in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. It says, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." See, when we pray, it is required of us that we believe so that we can then receive. And when you see that these are all action words, these are all verbs, this is not a passive thing. God is telling us that what we need to do is what we need to do. So in all things, whatever we ask in prayer, believe and ye shall receive. That's the word of God. What it says in Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." And when we get to the point where our prayer is that confident, God is getting glory. God is delighting in us because he sees that we believe his word is true, or we wouldn't have even asked him for the things that we asked him for so boldly. We wouldn't go before his throne so often if we didn't expect our Heavenly Father to give us. I have a story to tell. My grandson, I had actually purchased a toy for one of my grandchildren, and one of my other grandchildren saw the toy before I was able to give the toy to someone, to the grandchild I intended to give it to. And he simply pointed at it and smiled and said, "I want that." And as his grandfather, I couldn't resist. I had to give it to him. My thought is, I will have to buy another toy just like that one for the child I intended it for, because I could never say no to my grandchildren. That's just how I am. And I don't believe God holds back from us any more than I would hold back from my own grandchildren when we ask. And to tell the truth, my grandson didn't even have to ask. He just pointed and smiled and shook his head, and he knew I was going to give it to him because he knows I love him. See, and that's what God is looking for from us in our relationship with him. So look at what it says here in John chapter 14, verse 13. What it says is, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." See, when we pray to God, we don't just start saying stuff. We pray to God using grateful language, worshipful language, reverently before the throne of God. We make our petitions to God for ourselves and for others. And we thank God with grateful language. And then we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We close the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, if we don't do that, it's like mailing a letter, having all the correct information on the envelope and not putting a stamp on it and putting it in your mailbox and expecting it to get to where it needs to go. See, the price that was paid to allow us to have the Holy Spirit and to be able to communicate with God continually is the blood of Christ. And so when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we are putting the stamp of the blood of Christ on our communication, and that ensures that God will hear it, because the price, the stamp, has been paid in the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So we don't have to ever worry about whether God hears our prayers or not, because it says here, whatsoever we shall ask in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that will he do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look what it says in John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Where do you think his words are? His words are in the Word of God. That's why we have to study the Word of God. See, if we abide in the Word, and the Word abides in us, we will ask whatever we desire, and it shall be done for us, because we will know what God wants. We will be in agreement with God wants. We're not with what God wants. We're not going to ask for things that God would not have us to have, that would go contrary to the purposes of God in our life. We wouldn't do that because we know God's word. And so when we come into agreement with the purposes of God as a result of studying God's word, then whatever we ask for, it says, it shall be done unto us. So our expectation level will increase automatically just because we know we're in agreement with God. And God is not going to withhold from us any good thing. Look what it says in John chapter 16, verse 23. It says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, he will give it you. And so that's what Jesus Christ was telling his disciples back then. He was telling them that things are going to change. He's like, you're not going to ask me anything. He's like, you're going to be able to go directly before the throne of God, just like the high priest is able to once a year now. And you're going to ask him in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, and he will give it you. He didn't say he might give it you, or maybe if you work this out, he will. He said, that's an absolute, he will give it you, right? So our expectation level has to come in agreement with what the Word of God is saying here. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, we obtain mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ, which paid for all of our sin, that allows God to give us new grace and mercy each and every day. And mercy is the merited judgment, the punishment that we deserve, that we do not receive from God, and that we can also find grace to help in the time of need, and that grace is the enabling power and the unmerited favor of God. So when we are actively doing these things and we're engaging God expectantly, we're going to see results. We're not going to be gambling and wishing and buying a lottery ticket to maybe go to heaven someday. That's absurd. That is not the Word of God either. So we got to get real about what we believe and understand that God cannot contradict himself. His word is absolute. And so the more we study God's word, the more we're going to see God is not joking. He's absolutely serious about this. And so your prayer life, the power of your prayer life, is absolutely essential. because either you believe or you don't believe. And if you don't believe, then you are not inclined to go boldly before the throne of God, because unbelief is sin. Unbelief is designed to take you away from God. Unbelief is designed to tell you that you are not worthy to come before the throne of God, and you need somebody else who is worthy to come before the throne of God on your behalf. And so you pray to someone else, or you have someone else pray to you or for you or with you. And, you know, while you're growing up, until you understand the word of God, you got to start somewhere, right? It's better than not praying at all or having anybody pray with you or for you or teaching you even how to pray, right? But after you have grown in the word, you should be going before the throne of God at all times. It says here in 1 John, and I'm going to end here tonight, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." See, when we are obeying God, when we are humbling ourselves to him, and we keep his commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in the sight of God, there is no reason for us to not expect God to answer our prayer. And that is one of the reasons why we should encourage everyone to develop a real relationship with God, so that they can really walk in a place of power when it comes down to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for you giving us a desire to serve you, to please you, to trust you, and to allow your power of your Holy Spirit to operate in each and every one of our lives today, God. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God. what you've been through. Just know that praise is free.